What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 14 of the Save Data Cast, the bi-weekly gaming discussion show where we talk about news, reviews, hot takes, cold takes, and this time on episode 14, we're going to talk about our game of the year so far for 2021. Should be a fun discussion. Before we get to any of that, I'm your host, David, and joining me today, as always, is our fearsome leader, Zach. I almost called you fearful.
I'm warning you.
Oh god. The world is a terrifying place.
Reminding you that once again we do have Anytown Ohio merch. Just head over to Etsy.com/shop/savedataTeam to buy that hot merch.
So if you're in the live chat, does it work? That's right, I fixed it.
Okay. Hey. There we go.
I am also joined by the hockey stick and sickle herself. That's Elise.
I'm Commander Shepard bit, but David did that like 2 weeks ago.
David, you stole her bit 2 weeks ago.
I got a whole helmet for it, you know? All right.
You did get a whole helmet for it. You deserved it.
God damn.
And we are also joined by the Ace Attorney himself. That's Bridge.
This better be a good episode because I could be watching Beastars right now.
Damn.
I mean, Pridge, you get to decide that. That's not just on us. That's on you too, all right?
Damn it. Damn it, he's right.
If you are joining us for the first time, the last time, the 15th time, whatever. Time. I mean, hopefully it's not the last time. I'm hopeful that it's not the last time, but I mean, like, if it happens, it happens. I understand.
That's on us. We're sorry if we've let you down.
We're sorry.
Before we dig into anything, we're going to do a quick fantasy update. Should be very fast this week. Not a ton happening. So if you're unfamiliar, we do Fantasy Critic, where essentially we all draft games as if they are players in a fantasy league. That's the stick. It's very fun. Check out fantasycritic.games, and I'll have a link to our league in the description, as I always do. Changes over the past week, we got Pridge making moves, and he's the only one making moves right now.
Oh, I mean, we're all standing still.
Bridge dropped Darkest Dungeon 2, which probably a good move. Haven't heard anything about that game.
Sure. Wow. I just realized that game is not coming. Where the fuck is that game?
I looked it up to check. There's nothing. There's going to be like a short demo, I think, before the end of the year, but it's not coming out this year.
How is that game not done?
I checked to make sure this was a safe drop. It's not coming out this year.
The fuck?
I feel like you can say that for a lot of games, but...
I get it, but like,
where's
damn.
Axiom Verge 2?
That's also a good point.
But in place of that Darkest Dungeon 2, Pridge making moves, picking up Death's Door. I think that's a good pickup.
Pridge, you're gonna get a solid 85 on that at least.
I got three games coming out in the next 2 weeks, and that's one of them.
Yeah, the previews for that game are very good.
Yeah,
I know. I already own it. I pre-ordered it.
Wait, is that game like that soon? Jesus.
Yeah.
It's next Tuesday.
Yeah, it's very soon.
What the fuck?
I might stream it actually.
Hey, get that sweet dodge roll action in there.
Dodging and parrying, man. That game, like, I don't, that's another like game like Hades where I don't like roguelikes, but it still looks good. I'm like, man.
It looks like off-brand Hades, not off-brand, but like just a different Hades combat, but just a different shade of everything else. And yeah, I'm gonna want to play that.
Also, fun fact: I still have not had a game on my list release.
Jesus,
what the fuck, David?
I just realized I kind of picked Psychonauts 2, and I'm very much.
You're gonna lose some points on that. I don't know if it's gonna get crazy high scores, but you're gonna lose some points.
Yeah,
you're gonna lose points.
You're gonna lose points on that one. It's gonna be good. And I guess other one, just because it was announced today, Rainbow Six Extraction got delayed, so I'm gonna have to drop that probably tonight.
Yeah, I'm making it this year.
That's cool.
Oh, it got delayed that long, all the way to next
delayed
year?
To January. Yeah.
Oh wow! I didn't see how long the delay was.
Riders Republic got delayed too. Is it still coming this year?
Yeah, it only got delayed like a month or like a few weeks something like that. It wasn't that the Riders Republic one was not that bad.
They just got to add more snow to the mountains.
Hey, you know what, California, we got a drought this year. There is not a lot of snow in the mountains.
We gotta get more water.
They have to add more riders to the Republic.
Gotta pump in some more water. Oh god. I think that's it. I don't think any games came out that people have drafted in the last
couple
weeks.
Nothing came out, no.
Yeah. So, alright, that's it for fantasy. Do y'all want to just dive in? Because I feel like the games we're going to talk about for Games Played are going to be part of our Game of the Year so far deliberations. Am I wrong?
Does anybody have a game that they've played recently that is not up for Game of the Year at all?
I mean, nothing new. I obviously 100%ed God of War and playing Control right now, which are both great games, but yeah. they were up for Game of the Year last year and 2 years ago.
Yeah.
No, and 2 and 3 years ago, Prince. 2 and 3.
Yeah. Oh yeah, that's right. Yeah, 2 and 3.
2020 didn't exist. Unfortunately. Year that time forgot.
Those games definitely deserve to be in contention for Game of the Year. I mean, God of War won Game of the Year.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I agree that it should have won, but it definitely deserved contention.
What else came out that year that you liked more?
Red Dead 2 was that year?
Not that game. Fridge might like that game. I don't know. It's a very long game. I think it's really boring. But...
Actually, I played a couple games on Game Pass.
Ooh.
Fucking Super Lucky's Tale, new Super Lucky's Tale. Pretty damn good 3D platformer.
I'm shocked that's the game that you play.
I played most of that game. Like, really? Not, like, a week and a half ago. I played some Forza Horizon 2. That game's all right.
What made you wake up and say, I want to play a 3D platformer in the year of our Lord 2021?
I like 3D platformers. I think they're great.
Zach? You played, Ratchet & Clank?
I have not played Ratchet & Clank.
Oh, you didn't?
What?
Oh, that was me and Pridge. Never mind.
Yeah.
I just resubbed to Game Pass, and I was looking through. I'm like, hey, that game looks fun. I could go for a 3D platform right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. If you like 3D platformers, highly recommend checking it out. It's a lot of fun.
There you go.
I mean, 2018 did have Celeste, Monster Hunter World, and Spider-Man.
That's right. That's right. It's between Celeste and God of War for me.
That was actually a contentious year, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't play Red Dead or Assassin's Creed Odyssey, but any of those other four are all very worthy of it.
Giant Penguin in the chat asked, does the SMT Nocturne remaster count? I don't think any of us have played it, but yeah, it would. It came out this year.
Yeah.
The only one I've played... that's not from this year recently was actually Halo Combat Evolved, the Game Pass edition on Master Chief Collection, because I've never played a Halo campaign before in my life.
That's wild to me, David.
Listen.
I get it.
I didn't have an Xbox.
I get it. But that's just buck wild to me.
So I went back and I played it, and game doesn't age great. That's pretty much what I'm going to say. It doesn't age great. I can totally see why at the time people lost their goddamn minds about the game. Totally see it. I understand. Bad now.
Hot take. I wish that all first-person shooters would get rid of the auto-healing mechanic that they all now do, where your vision just gets red and then slowly goes back to normal or goes black and white or whatever. I wish we had an actual health bar like in Halo 1. The shield is great.
I have some issues with the design around the health bar with that game specifically in certain sections where it's also, I hate the flood just in general. Those levels are dumb.
The library?
The library? Literally one of the worst first-person shooter levels I have ever played in my life.
Mowing down the flood is not fun. I would play a zombie game if I wanted to do that.
That's kind of where I'm at on that one.
I also do agree with Zach. I hate blinking red screen as your health bar.
I hate it.
I don't know. How red does my screen have to get before I die? I've never liked that system.
Mass Effect 3 does the Halo 1 thing where it's like. You have your shield that regenerates, and then you've got your segments of health that are permanently gone until you use consumable to heal.
Healing thing, yeah.
And I like that system. It's like, it gives you the leeway to get shot a bit because you're going to get shot.
Right.
But also, like, get to fucking cover or do something to stop getting hit.
Right, right. Once the shield goes down, it's like, oh, fuck. We gotta be smart.
Yeah.
And also in Halo, once the shield goes down, just get a headshot. Boom, bada bing.
Well, I mean, I'm also playing the campaign, so, like, that's annoying.
Right. Yeah, again, not to belabor the point, the library sucks because you have to go through, like, 7 hallways that are exactly the same.
They're exactly the same.
Just tons of fluff.
They have unending enemies that...
Yeah, oh, God, there's so many of them.
Well, they're unending. They keep spawning, so, yeah. You're just supposed to keep running, and I hate that level with a passion now. Aw, Magnus, what up, dude?
And now, anytime that he sees me pull the green screen up and, like, the microphone out, he's like, oh, it's time to go lay on Dad's lap and fall asleep and, like, make my arm go to sleep because he rests his head on my arm. And it's the cutest thing ever.
That's adorable.
I can't bother to move him. But damn.
It's not good for productivity, but that's adorable.
No. He was doing it today while I was editing, and I was like, you can't do this now. Like, if I'm podcasting, I don't move my hands very much, but...
If I'm editing, I need to.
Right. Like, look at this friggin' goob. He just chills there because that's what he do. That's all he know. But
oh, how perfect!
He's sweet.
What a good boy.
Anyways,
good baby.
Any other games that aren't in our, like, game of the year so far discussion?
No, the one game I've played is my current game of the year, so we'll talk about that.
Right, hell yeah. Well, let's dive into it. So let's talk about what we've been playing over the course of the year that came out this year, and what our favorites of. Let's start with the least. We'll mix it up this
week. Sure. Okay. I played 7 games that came out in 2021. There's 3 I want to talk about.
I feel like that number has gone up slowly since we started this podcast.
Yes. She beat two games
since this podcast started.
No, it's just as I've been, like, looking through what games came out this year and, like, slowly adding the ones that I've actually played. I want to start with Operation Tango.
Oh, you played that? Okay, cool.
I did play that. I played that with my friend Woke Sweetie. You know him a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like a asymmetrical multiplayer game. It's got crossplay, which is how we played it, and it works fantastically. That's the first thing I want to say. I want to play It Takes Two. Does not have crossplay.
Oh, it
so
doesn't.
I can't play that game. No.
I think,
but it does. It's a co-op game where one person is, like, an agent and the other one's a hacker. Mm-hmm. And you need to, like, do these missions where, you know, the hacker is, like, you know, running around, or the agent is running around, like, as a first person, like, thing to interact with things. And maybe they need to get through a door and the hacker will have to open that door. Mm-hmm. That's, like, the basic gist, but it gets, like, more complicated as you go through. And it's like, there's only, like, 6 missions and each mission is only, like, 10, 15 minutes. So it doesn't take that long.
Wow.
It's maybe
that's pretty short.
Two hours. So,
gotcha.
And we did it twice. We did it basically alternated hacker and agent, and then restarted and, like, did the other role.
Mm-hmm.
So we got both sides of it, and I really, really highly recommend it. It's, like, it's really fun to communicate with each other, like, figure out how you need to work each object and, like, who needs to, there's a lot of times where, like, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. You need to do something. And then the other person's like, no, I don't know what I'm supposed to do. There's nothing here. You need to do something for me.
Yeah.
And finally, one of you figures out, oh, I can click this thing and that'll open the door. It's a lot of fun. And it has, for one, crossplay. So you can play between PS5 and PC, which is what we did, or I think between PS5 and Xbox.
I was going to ask, you played PC and Woke Sweetie PS5, is that right?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, the fact that you can do crossplay is actually rad.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. And it also, it has the front pass. So one person buys it, the other person goes on, you know, Steam or the PlayStation Store, downloads the free front pass, which is the full version of the game.
Does it not work with PlayStation Plus? Because I have it on PlayStation Plus.
I assume so. Yeah.
That would be insane.
Yeah.
Because then I have a free game and I can just share that free game with my friend.
I mean, we should also probably just play that on stream one day because I have
100% should play that.
Oh,
100%.
I mean, yeah, it was. I also have it free from PlayStation Plus. So.
Yeah.
But if you just have a friend who doesn't have it, like, tell them to download the Friend Pass and spend a night at it.
Get somebody to put a wear sunglasses and a suit, and somebody else just dressed as Seth Green in any movie Seth Green's ever been in.
Yeah.
And there you go. You got the agent and the hacker.
Yeah. And then, okay, so that's one. I think I want to talk about Mass Effect Legendary a bit. I don't know if it's, you know, it's not my game of the year, but David, I know you played it. I don't
played a lot of it, yeah.
Either if you have played, I've played Mass Effect at all, or Zach or Pritch.
No, it's the thing where I've only played about 10 hours of Mass Effect 2, and I played it like 6 years after it came out. I was super late to it. It was just a situation where I was living in like a sublet for 2 weeks. And I was like, I have nothing to do. Let me just start playing this game in my free time. And I was like, wow, this actually holds up really good.
Yeah.
And then I moved and I was like, I don't have time and I can't play this right now. But I wish that I got into it when it came out. I remember my college roommate using my Xbox to play the first two games that he borrowed from two other friends. And he was like, this is the best game of all time. And I was like, what?
They're really good. I think around their release, my older brother borrowed like first Mass Effect 2. And then when it came out, Mass Effect 3 from like his friend. And I don't think we ever gave those games back. Like they just never asked for them back. And I'd never played Mass Effect 1 before, like now, before like a couple days ago.
I don't think a lot of people played Mass Effect 1, to be fair.
That's fair.
I'd be in Mass Effect 1 and then was going to be Mass Effect 2, but I got a game ending glitch, so I didn't beat Mass Effect 2.
I had that for Company of Heroes. That's a rough time. I mean, a good number of people played Mass Effect 1, but it was an Xbox exclusive or timed exclusive, I believe. So it was fewer than would have normally.
Yeah. Ooh, Reliant K fan in the chat does ask, do the missions change a bit or are they the same every time, asking because you said you played it twice?
They're the same. Like there's no value in like playing as the same role twice. And like when you play as the other role, you kind of know what you're expecting, so it's kind of easier there.
Right.
But we did it over like a couple weeks, you know, getting together for a couple hours a night, like once a week or so. So it wasn't like I didn't remember everything that they were supposed to do.
Gotcha.
Yeah. On Mass Effect though, it's like it's funny because it's a mediocre cover shooter and a mediocre like CRPG, like it is in the vein, it's a BioWare game, it is like in the lineage of the, you know, Baldur's Gate and KOTOR, Knights of the Old Republic games, and it's like worse at doing the RPG thing than them. And yet somehow when you combine those things, it turns into a really, really fucking good series.
I mean, I think the world building they do does a lot of the heavy lifting, right?
Yeah. The world building's fantastic. The world building's really good. Mass Effect 2 remains like, I've played that game so many times. It's still like a lot of fun. I think part of what it comes down to is they're just like familiar and they're kind of easy. Mm. They're not just that they're like easy games, but that they're easy to like slot into and just spend time in. They're not like hostile. Mm-hmm. I do have to say though, I'm about 15 hours into Mass Effect 3. I think that's a better game than 2, which is blasphemy, but
I'm kind of with you now, Elise.
Like, part of it having... is
go ahead.
Part of it is I'm playing as a Vanguard this time. I've been switching my class every time. And this time I'm playing as a Vanguard in Mass Effect 3.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so good that
that's
like
the biotic charge one, right?
That's the one where the Vanguard is Mass Effect is a cover shooter, unless you play as a Vanguard.
Vanguard says, no, 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 no.
Vanguard, especially in Mass Effect 3, their main ability is the charge, where they just fucking launch themselves at an enemy, like through cover, through whatever, across the battlefield. In Mass Effect 3, my gameplay loop is basically that charge completely refills my shield. Yeah. And then I've got like a slam ability that's like a radial slam that the way I have it set up, that spends half my shield and does a fuckload of damage. So I charge in, slam twice, and by that time my charge is recharged. So I can do that again.
Yeah, I did my shields. I did the Vanguard for my Mass Effect 3 playthrough. It makes that game so much better.
It's so much fun.
Vanguard is so much fun.
I kind of wish I played it in Mass Effect 2, because Mass Effect 2, as like an adept, which is what I played,
it is not or any other cast. The Vanguard in 2 is nowhere near the same degree of fun as Vanguard in 3.
Okay.
They're very different classes.
Yeah. And like there are some gripes. It's very like cutscene heavy, even more than 2, even more than 1. Like the cutscenes are longer and more plentiful. The main thing that I'm really struggling with, like my main gripe with the game is, I'm not so much struggling, is in Mass Effect 1 and 2, you always had 3 options in cutscenes. You had the Paragon option, which is like the nicey-nice. Mm-hmm. You had the Renegade option, which is like the be a dick. Mm-hmm. And then you had a neutral option, which is neither.
Yeah, and you should never pick the neutral option. It's bad.
Yeah, but like, it's not... The only thing that's bad about it is that you don't get like Paragon or Renegade points, which... You need, which, but you don't.
Yeah, I was gonna say that
do,
is
like,
important.
They're important, but they're not important. Like, I picked those every once in a while, and I didn't have any problems with like Paragon, like checks. But what it means is, because I'm like playing Paragon through Mass Effect 3, I basically don't have dialogue options. Because I could either keep going Paragon, or do a personality switch and become Renegade, which I do every once in a while when it seems appropriate. But like,
yeah, I feel the same way as you. I did Renegade for my playthrough for all 3 of them, because I'd never done a Renegade playthrough before, and there were some choices where I'm like, I can't pick this, like
like Commander Shepard commits genocide.
Yeah, no,
let's not go that far.
Honestly, that's pretty close to accurate. There were Jesus. Some situations.
There are multiple points where you can commit genocide.
Yeah, there are.
Jesus,
there's a few points. You can wipe out 2 entire races if you want to.
What?
Yeah.
What?
One in Mass Effect 1, one in Mass Effect 3.
Yeah. 2 and 3.
In 1, you can save or release, or kill or release the queen.
Oh, yeah, there's 1 in each one, then, because there's the Geth in 2.
Oh, yeah.
I remember that from 1.
Yeah, so you can commit genocide in every single one of these games.
Wow.
It's generally discouraged, like, even as the Renegade character.
I would
like,
fucking hope so.
Even as the Renegade character, I'm like, listen, I'm an asshole. I'm not a genocidal maniac.
Yeah,
like,
what the fuck?
And they're like,
Renegade,
no, but the Renegade
kill.
Option is genocide. And I'm like, is it? Like, this is a very big difference from just being a dick.
Yeah. I'm also, a lot of the DLCs are new to me. Like, I never played the Mass Effect 3 DLC. And
same
now
with
I've
me.
Done the Omega DLC, which was fantastic.
It was very good, yeah.
The Leviathan DLC, which is also really good. Not quite as good as Omega, but really good. And I also did the Mass Effect 2 DLC. DLCs. 2 of them are new squad mates. They're all right. I like them. One of them is Operation Overlord, which has not aged well. And probably wasn't great at the time.
Is that the hovercraft one?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that
one.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like gameplay wise. I mean, it is super ableist.
Oh, it also isn't fun. I didn't think it was fun.
I thought it was fun until the end.
I have a question.
Oh, this is icky.
Elise, I have a very, very, very specific question. When you used the pick up stuff option on the hovercraft, did it make a horrible screeching sound for you?
No.
Okay, so. That was just a bug with my game then.
Oh,
right.
No. Oh, no.
There are missions where you had to pick up like 10 things, and every time I picked it up, the game made a horrible screeching sound to the point where I just muted the game when I played the hovercraft missions.
Oh, Jesus.
Like, it makes a sound, but it's not like a horrible screeching sound. It's just like a humming.
Oh,
like,
yeah, no, it was bad for me.
Okay. What else besides Mass Effect, Elise?
Okay, then we get to what is actually my game of the year so far, Monster Hunter Rise, which I've talked about on this show before. It's a Monster Hunter game. I love a Monster Hunter game. The monsters are good. The weapons are good. The fighting's good. I don't have much to say that I haven't said before. It has grown since I last talked about it. They've added like a solid endgame to like the base game, and probably next year we're going to get like the G rank or the master rank version, or DLC or whatever they're going to do for it.
Did you say the master rank stuff is called G rank?
It was in every version before.
Yeah,
it was always called G rank.
Monster Hunter World is when they changed it to master rank. Okay, so this is funny. They've talked about, like, the developers have talked about why it's called G rank, and they're like, well, there's a lot of adjectives in English that start with G that are good. Like good, great.
Ooh.
Oh my god.
Grandiose.
You're
grand.
Kidding me.
I mean, at that point, just be like, listen, if you can pass this rank, you're a G.
Yeah.
I don't fucking know. That's a better explanation than that shitty one.
I was hoping it was something like that, but man, that's
literally why they call it G rank.
Speaking of somebody being a G, Antiluster just cheered 50 bits. Wait, I don't know if it's 50, but it's a lot of bits.
A lot.
Yeah, 50 bits. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Appreciate it.
Very much appreciate it.
Yeah. Any super curly ones?
Excuse me, Euphor. I don't mean to be that guy, but I'm calling it. I think Euphor are a bunch of absolute and utter legends. You're the Council of Jedis that don't need lightsabers, and you're already slaying it. Euphor are so epic and do more for streams than
estuaries.
You don't stream, you river. You're the BTS of Twitch. Iconic. Fist bump. Super curly one. Thank you very much for that.
I feel like that's gotta be a copy pasta, but it's amazing.
It has to be, but I also don't care.
Like, you don't stream, you river is such a fucking hilarious.
You've done more for streams than estuaries.
That's what got me. Oh my fucking estuary.
Yeah,
that's incredible.
Deep water humor, guys.
No, it's really good. It's really good.
Thank you.
No copies. I'm not a bot. Thank you.
Despite not having that much to say about it right now, Monster Hunter Rise is my game of the year so far.
Oh, no, we've talked about it on here.
Yeah, we've talked about it.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's honestly, we're going to talk about what my two top picks right now are, but like, I think that's a solid choice for what could be considered.
Yeah.
A game of the year game, especially with the continued support that it's gonna keep seeing throughout the rest of this year,
for sure.
Yeah. Which is pretty much exactly what you've said already. It's like, the more they add to it, the better the game gets, and they're still adding to it. So yay! Yeah.
Does it have
an ending yet?
It has an ending. Okay. There's a real final boss, the one that they were leading up to, and then didn't add until like 2 months later.
Okay.
And then there's stuff after that. They added in semi-recently one of my absolute favorite monsters, Faustrax, which is like a jet dragon.
Literally
like a fighter jet, but a dragon. His wings are like
That's
jet
a Pokemon.
Engines.
A Digimon.
That's all. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he was the flagship monster for Monster Hunter Double Cross or Generations Ultimate. So good. Such a fun fight.
Love the description of he is a jet engine dragon.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Pretty rad.
Pridge, how about you? What's your game of the year?
You want me to go next?
Yeah.
All right.
When you said that, I was like, you want me to lay this down? Can I crack some heads? Is it time?
I don't have anything nearly that interesting to say.
Good knuckle crack on that.
Yeah, they do that whether I want them to or not. So I've probably played like 4 or 5 games that have come out this year. I mean, like, Bravely Default 2 was fun, but not that fun, and the story is the most bland thing ever. I mean, I'm not going to give it to Mario Golf, which, despite being, you know, fun, is just a Mario sports game.
Yeah.
Knockout City's a blast.
Yeah.
Oh, I forgot about Knockout City.
Much better than I thought it was going to be. But again, I'm not going to give it Game of the Year. And I would love to meme and say it's Honey Pop 2. And while I did 100% that game, it's definitely not the Game of the Year.
God damn it.
I love that you 100%ed that game.
Yeah. I absolutely love it. Trophy in Honey Pop 2.
It's a puzzle game, man. I gotta at least get the clean 100. regardless of how shameful it is to admit that. But basically, the only game I played that could legitimately be considered Game of the Year is my actual Game of the Year. And that's gonna be Ratchet and Clank Rift Apart. Again, both David and I talked about the game when we were playing it soon after it came out, but overall it was just a great game. It was all the core classic combat and gameplay you expect from a Ratchet and Clank game. Throw in how unbelievably gorgeous it looks on the PS5. Throw in, I think they honestly did a pretty good job with the story. Story has, you know, enough heart for a game of that type that's not meant to be super story intensive, but still good. All the new characters they introduced were honestly very fun. And they've easily, you know, they've easily set themselves up to do more Ratchet and Clank games. Even bringing back, like, you know, Rivet and Kit and stuff like that. So, I mean, It's a bit of I don't have any other option, but at the same time, still, it's a very legitimate choice.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Ratchet and Clank, we'll get to mine, but like, it's up there. Like, Ratchet and Clank,
yeah, like, it's definitely up there, but I have nothing else I could even say is challenging it right now. Overall, great game. I'm certain there will be some other great games I play before the end of the year, especially with Metroid Dread and Deathloop coming out before the end of the year, and hopefully Horizon Forbidden West. But through the first 6 months, that's definitely my Game of the Year choice. And there again, there have been some other great games this year. I just haven't played them. I haven't played Returnal or RE Village or Monster Hunter Rise yet.
Yeah,
that's true. I think Returnal is probably the one we've missed out on that might be up there. I think I'll play it before the end of the year, but I haven't played it yet, is where I'm.
Yeah, I might play it before the end of the year. Probably not before the end of this year. I'll probably play it at some point, but yeah, probably not anytime soon.
Yeah.
Especially since I have 3 games I really want to play coming out in the next 2 weeks, so.
Oh, depends. What games? I'm just curious.
So the 20th is Death's Door and Chris Tales. And then the 27th is Neo, The World Ends With You.
Oh, right. I was going to say, those are all not David games.
Yeah, no. End of July has a lot of things I'm really looking forward to that will carry me through July and August until Deathloop comes out in September.
Mm. I definitely want to play Death's Door. That game looks really fun, but it's not like priority. Cool. Not like a play it right now.
It's $3. It's $3 cheaper than normal if you buy it on Steam before it comes out.
Oh.
$17 versus $20.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
That's why I bought it today. I'm gonna play it anyway. Might as well save $3.
All right, Zach, you want to go next? Or you want me to?
Yeah, because we're gonna tag team one of my games, at least hear a reason why it's not your current game of the year and why it is my game of the year. But first, I will talk about Resident Evil 8 just briefly again, because I think I'm the only person here who's played it. It's definitely my AAA game of the year so far. It's just a really good, like, first person action horror game. It reinvents itself every 2 hours in a really cool way. It's a pretty, like, breakneck pace through, like, the 10 hours that the gameplay is. Again, everyone complains about the last like 4 hours. They're right. They're not as good as the 6 hours that preceded. They're still good. Mm-hmm. The last hour is there are 2 boss fights back to back that just suck. But There is a really cool 30 minutes in between those boss fights, though. I just remembered that, and I was like, oh, yeah, that moment kicked ass. That was so good. Yeah. It's a radical game, and definitely the more I think about it, the more I'm like, damn, that was cool. Because while I was playing it, there was parts of me that was like, I don't know how I feel about this. And then, like, yeah, it changes itself entirely. It's like the shitty thing that people say about weather, where they're like, well, if you don't like the weather, just wait 20 minutes, it'll change. Like, that's literally how this game is. And it's like, even if you do like it, it'll change to something that you also probably like. So definitely, I mean, if you're a Resident Evil fan at all, you definitely should check it out. Also, again, still has the worst protagonist in the entire series. That is not up for debate. Fuck Ethan. But
before you get to your actual like game of the year so far, mm-hmm. if the protagonist was not Ethan and was actually good, would that make it your game of the year? Like, is that enough to push it over?
I don't know. I mean, in like if thinking about it, I'm not thinking about, oh man, I wish my protagonist had been cooler. I'm thinking about
the last four.
Yeah, and just kind of like, it's more of like, it doesn't do anything. Like, it's not making me think. It's a popcorn movie. It's like, I would say this game is like a really good Marvel movie where you're like, man, I remember that movie and I'm going to think about that. And I'll probably go back and rewatch it. But I'm not going to say it was the best movie of the year. But goddamn, if I don't fucking love going back to watch, I don't know, fucking Captain America or some shit like that. And it's like, okay, yeah, it's really fun. But what I'm here to talk about, what is my game of the year so far, is Chicory. This is an indie Chicory, game that's kind of going under the radar. Yes, you're right. Sorry, Chicory, A Colorful Tale is the full title. It's kind of going under the radar. Like, some people are talking about it. It definitely is in the top rated, critically rated games on OpenCritic right now for the year. But what makes this game special is a lot of things. The concept is you're this little dog and it's a cutesy world where everybody's animals and all like cartoon drawn. And you are the janitor for the wielder. And the wielder is a person who owns the magical brush that colors in the world quite literally. And there's like a long line of wielders. And every time a new wielder gets selected, they have to go through this rigorous training process. And then they get to recolor the world as they see fit. And everybody loves the wielder. Your character especially is like, wow, I fucking love the wielder. I worship the ground she walks on. The wielder's name is Chicory. Within the first 5 seconds of the game, all the color in the world disappears. Everything is black and white. You go to try and find Chicory, and you just see the brush lying on the ground outside of Chicory's room, and you pick it up. And then you get to paint the whole game. It is... Zelda, it is a Zelda game, like a top-down Zelda, very much you go to dungeons, there are boss battles, and once you finish the boss battle, you get a new ability that helps you traverse the world in a different way. And as you're going through, yeah, every screen, you get a new color, or every area, you get a new color palette of four colors. You could rotate between and just like paint in between the lines, just color shit. It's so cool. And one of my favorite things, it's not really a spoiler, by the end of when you go to the world map, when you like pull it up on screen, it shows you what you've colored in as that color. And once you beat the game, it does a time lapse showing you slowly painting in like swaths of the map. And it's really cool. That was like one of my favorite, like, oh, fuck, that's rad. It almost made me want to go back and like repaint everything in better colors. But I legitimately spent, because I was playing it on PlayStation, which I actually don't recommend because coloring with the analog stick sucks versus a mouse. I easily spent probably 3 hours of my like 12-hour playthrough just drawing in the map because I was having a blast. And every time I came to a new screen, I was like, okay, I got to take the 2 minutes it's going to take me to color paint everything in to make it look pretty because I want my world to be pretty.
Aww.
We played this game very differently.
That's what I suspected. what is apart from just the cool Zelda-like stuff, the game has a lot of heart. It does feel, it definitely has like some Undertale-ish vibes. It's less funny than Undertale likes to be, but it hits emotional impacts like Undertale. It does not pull its punches. It definitely has a lot to say about anxiety and in particular imposter syndrome. Oh my God, this game is like, let's talk about imposter syndrome. Let's just let's open the closet on imposter syndrome. Because dear God, it I mean, it's really good. It has a lot of cool twists. The boss fights are fucking phenomenal in this
game. I 100% disagree with you on that. I think they suck. But...
Wow. I'm shocked.
They're all the same. They're all literally the same fight.
Disagree somewhat, but I understand where you're coming from.
Well, except for the last one, they're all the same.
There's only a few of them. I mean, I get where you're coming from. I had a blast with them. My biggest gripe was that when you die in a boss fight, it only rewinds you like a few seconds. So it's very easy to beat the bosses. And I feel like otherwise, if it like made you restart farther back, it might be more challenging. But I understand.
Yeah, I don't think that's the vibe they were going for.
Probably. Yeah, they probably don't want to like make people upset. Because the boss fights are kind of hard sometimes. Some of the dodging you have to do is difficult. But
I think I died like one time. All game? Oh, I didn't think it was that bad.
No shit. Okay, well, I died a couple times. Good. No, it's really good. This game kicks so much ass. I was flabbergasted. I did not expect it to hook me so hard. I kept wanting to, and it breaks up perfectly in chapters. I kept wanting to keep playing it. There are other like cool things. Like there's an art museum in town, in one of the towns, or not an art museum, like an art class school. And because all the color left, all the color in like the masterpiece drawings that previous wielders had made are also black and white. So you have to go through and like repaint them, but it doesn't let you trace them. You just have to like redraw them. And it was the thing. It's totally optional. You don't have to do this at all, which I'm sure, David, you probably didn't.
I did do those.
I found it super therapeutic to just sit there and like do this.
It was for me. I really liked the paintings where they give you a painting. They're like, here, paint this in your own way. Like the master painting specifically. Yes. The stuff between the master paintings, I hated.
100%. That sucked.
And I literally, after the first couple, I would do a master painting and like actually like try and draw it. And then I would just use the fill brush and fill it with one color for the in-betweens and move along.
Yep. It's not fun.
No.
But it's cool because then once you recolor the master paintings, they get put at like set points in the map. And, you can walk up. And also as you're like doing things in the world, the characters are commenting on what you're doing and being like, oh, I really like the way you painted in like this wall. Or like there's one part where somebody's like, hey, there used to be like cool graffiti on this wall. And then it got erased when all the colors disappeared. Would you mind making this wall look rad? Or like you can show up to a pizza shop and the pizza shop guy is like, hey, my paintings, I need a cool logo. Design a cool logo for me. And whatever you make it, that's what the logo is for the rest of the game. And it's pretty fun. Like there's a lot of really cool things.
Do you get paid if you work as a graphic designer, or you only get paid in exposure?
Exactly.
Pretty much. Oh,
this game is terrible. 0 out of 10.
The one I will say, like, there are so many like moments that like caught me off guard and made me like just be like, damn, that was really powerful. And like one that just like hops to mind that was so, I feel like it could be a throwaway moment, or like it actually, David, you might have completely missed this moment. Is there's one point where you're walking by a river. And there's this like koala dude chilling up, sitting up against a tree.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that part.
And he's like, he looks real sad. And you talk to him, and he's like, "Oh, my lover, my partner, who is dead, used to love taking me here. So now I like to sit here, and it reminds me of him." And it was like, "Oh, damn! Like that's a heavy moment." And he's like, "He used to really love flowers too. I wish I could get some flowers to plant here." And so if you go and get flowers, which the game has kind of a really really watered down like Animal Crossing mechanic of like placing decor and shit that you can do in pretty much any location, which is kind of cool. If you go and put a bunch of flowers in that spot, like, and talk to him again, he like does like this moment where he's like super choked up and he's like, oh my God, like I need a moment. And like you leave and come back and he's like, thank you so much. Like this means so much to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure he would have loved to have seen this. And it was just like, I have chills talking about it right now because it was such a like a weird moment, but I was like, holy fuck.
For me, those moments in the game were what made the game really good for me. Like, even like I know I'm not as hot as it on you, but like I still thought it was a very good game. Like, I'm not dissing it or anything.
Yeah.
It's just, instead of like a game of the year for me, it's like a 7 for mostly mechanical reasons, not like story or anything. Like, I really enjoyed the characters. I really enjoyed those serious moments tied in with the really funny moments. And I really enjoyed the relationship of your main character to Chicory and Chicory's relationship with her teacher.
Yeah.
That entire chain was fantastic. I really enjoyed that entire thing. On the funny side, I have a question I have to ask, Zach.
Okay.
Did you find that you had named your character the name of another character in the game?
No, I didn't.
So, for context, everyone, this game does not ask you at the beginning to name your character. This game at the beginning asks you, what is your favorite food? Because every character is named after food.
Yes.
Except for Chicory, because Chicory is just like... But...
A plant.
It's like a plant that I don't think people really eat. But no,
I don't think so.
So I like corn a lot. I named myself Corn.
Fucking, of course you did.
And then I did the entire like art museum section, and the last master painting in the art museum is just this fucking horse looking back at the painter. And it's like, oh, this was painted by Corn. I'm like, yo, that was me. What are you talking about?
That's fucking funny. Nah, I was pizza.
Hey, good choices. I would have chosen
which apparently I was looking up stuff online.
That's the canon name for the main character.
That's the canon name for the main
really?
Character, which is so funny
awesome.
To me. Yeah, pizza and Chicory.
Never mind. This game's a 10 out of 10 again.
It's so good. I love this game.
Gets all of its points back.
I was so hooked on it.
It was really good.
It has some like post game content too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, like, I 100% the game. Like, I played pretty much everything of it. Like, I got to see everything. It was just like I had issues with a lot of the boss fights. I thought sucked.
I'm so sad by that, because I loved, like, the first time a boss showed up, I was like, oh, what the fuck? Because the music gets so intense.
And thematically, it was cool. Like, playing it was just meh for me. But like the, God, what was it?
You played it on PC, right?
No, I played on PlayStation.
Oh, okay. Shit.
I think I had some gift card money for PSN store, so I just used that.
Mm.
The thing that didn't really get me was like painting the whole world. I had zero interest in doing that. I pretty much just painted what I had to paint in the world itself, because like I get, for a lot of other people, it's therapeutic. It feels good to just sit there and essentially color in a coloring book, but for me that's tedious. I don't enjoy that. So it was literally that thing.
where I was like, I have never been the kind of person, because I know a lot of adults will buy coloring books just to do as like a therapeutic thing, and I was like, nah, it's not for me, whatever. After playing this game, I'm like, shit, should I be buying coloring books? Because I really enjoyed this. Like, that made me feel so good to like make sure all of my trees on one screen had the same color leaves, different colored trunk, the grass was a different color, and if there was like a rock face, that was a different color. I was all in it.
Yeah, no, I didn't put any effort in, but nowhere near. And I think that's where it comes very much into personal player taste of if that sort of thing ends up being your jam, this game is going to be much higher on the scale for you. If that sort of thing is not your jam, you're probably going to be around where I'm at, where like it was a great game. It was still like a 7 out of 10, which is good. It's just not game of the year.
Also, you said it took you 12 hours. How long did it take you, David?
I want to say the story was like 10 for me.
Okay.
And then I did a bunch of the extra side content stuff.
I haven't finished all the master drawings, but I was really, really feeling it.
The master drawings are fun. I enjoyed doing them.
Yeah, I agree 100% with you that it's so stupid that they make you do a thing that wastes your time in between them.
Yeah,
that is a dumb choice.
They had some other cool systems. Like there are basically built-in systems for helping you 100% the game, which is really cool.
Yes, there are.
You just talk to people, basically, and they're like, oh, yeah, that thing's over in this area. Just look around there. You might have to use a new power you got recently or something.
Yeah.
And it's very cool.
Also, the phone call system is incredible. I barely had to use it after a certain point, but I thought it was brilliant.
Yeah, it was a good way of checking in.
Yes.
Stole it from Psych.
I'm only
half joking. Yeah, they kind of did.
Basically, at any point in time in the game, if you don't know what you need to do, you can call. You can find us like a phone booth, and you'll call your mom, and your mom will be like, "Oh, hey, like, what's going on?" And it'll be like, "You tell your mom everything that's happened," and she'll be like, "Oh, well, I remember when I was young and I had a situation similar to this." What you probably want to do is go talk to the bug queen, because then she'll tell you how to. And it's like, oh, okay.
The cool thing they do is
you'll see a hand reaching at your mom. And it's like, oh, it's your father. You know how he gets. If he knows the answer to a question, he just has to tell you, do you want to speak to your dad? And your dad will give you, like, you need to go 2 screens to the left, talk to this person, and then go 3 screens up, and then do this. And, like, it's so, and it's done, like, in character seriously, and it's so funny.
That's pretty cute.
It's a really cool system.
The last thing I'll say about Chicory is they have a very heavy nod towards Donut County in that game.
Yes, they do.
Where there is a donut store called Holy's, I think.
Yeah.
And your dad either owns or loves Holy's, and he's a raccoon. And
I think he owns it. I think he owns it.
Very specific call out to Donut County that I really enjoy.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah, I think there's several indie game references. There's like a frog detective character.
Yep.
That I think is a reference to something else.
There is a game called, I think, The Frog Detective or something.
But they literally were like, this kid, like every character is named something, like a food or something, like you said. And then I'm the frog detective. And I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah, there's 3 frog detective games, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you talk to him and he's like, I'm a frog and I love detectives. But today I'm just chilling by this river, because sometimes you got to take a break. You know what I mean? And you're like, your character can like say yes or no. And I'm like, what the fuck? Why is this thing? Why is this here?
Do I know what it means?
Sometimes you got to take a break. And I did take a break by coloring in the entire fucking world in between every dungeon. And it was super fun.
I wasn't fucking about that life. No.
I enjoyed it a lot.
I guess we'll move on to me. So,
yeah.
For my game of the year, we've talked about most of the games I've played already. So, Mass Effect Legendary Edition. Did that one. Knockout City did that one. Chicory did that one. Wretch and Clank did that one. There are 2 that I want to mention here, and they are my top 2 games, so they're important to mention. First one is actually a DLC, and that is the Final Fantasy VII Remake Intermission DLC, because holy shit, that is good. Like, it's better than most games that have come out this year. Like, it is so good. Just the building on top of what they had and adding a totally new character with entirely new combat forms, like being a hybrid melee range character and adding story to a character that used to be a nothing burger optional person you got from literally a random encounter. It just was utterly fantastic. And I had a great time with that. I really love that DLC. But a game that if you had told me earlier this year would be my game of the year halfway through the year, I would have told you were insane. That's Scarlet Nexus. That is my game of the year so far.
I was going to say, because I listened to the besties talk about Scarlet Nexus this week, and they're like, hey, this game's actually pretty good and nobody's really talking about it.
There's some real dumb shit
in it, but...
Listen, it's a JRPG. It has dumb JRPG shit in it. If you can get past the dumb JRPG shit, it is a diamond in the rough, man. Like, this game is fantastic. I have already played through it twice because
it has two.
I was just going to say, so at the beginning of the game, you can choose either Yuito or Kasane, male or female protagonist. Yuito is basically clueless young himbo who doesn't realize there's a bunch of girls crushing for him, and he's kind of like whatever, whereas Kasane is like the stereotypical cool beauty who doesn't really have emotions for reasons that are in the game. And like, there is just the combat in this game is hella better than I thought it was going to be. Like, it is just great. It has some funkiness to it. Go ahead, Elise.
Mm.
This is the same team as God Eater and Code Vein, eh?
No. So it's Bandai Namco, so it is the same publisher. But it might be part of the team from Code Vein, but the head is actually a former Tails person. Which might be why
that's
this resonates
why David
with me.
Likes it. Yeah.
listen. There's like three Tails games that I think are actually like fantastic. Most of them are not. This is a great game. combat in this game is really good. It takes a few levels for it to get really good. It's kind of tedious at the very beginning, but literally after like level 5 or 10, you're good to go. You unlock enough stuff that the annoyances of combat are gone. But the way that you utilize your teammates in combat in this game is fantastic. I don't think I've seen it in another system before. So what it is essentially you and your squad mates are all psychics, essentially. And each of you has a different power. So the main character, whichever one you play, they have the same power. It's psychokinesis. And then their accompaniment have different powers. One of them's like electrokinesis. It's electricity. One of them is hyper velocity. You run really fast, which basically gameplay wise is you slow time. There's like teleporting around. There's duplication where your attacks get duplicated for a while. But the way you actually use these teammate powers is essentially you can borrow them for a short period of time in combat. And they augment what you already have. And as you level up in the game, you can have more of them active at the same time. So by the end of the game, I think you can have 3 or 4 different powers active at the same time. And you can combine them. So you can combine duplication with your psychokinesis, which means when you pick up an object and throw it, instead of throwing one object, you throw like 3 or 4. And they just copy. Okay. And then if you also have like the electrokinesis guy's stuff running, the objects get electrified and can stun enemies too. So you can continue to combo these different abilities together and they all do different, slightly different things in combination. Like there's invisibility where you can like sneak attack basically. And if you have electricity or fire, you do more damage and it adds like a status effect afterwards and stuff. And it's just a really cool system. It's utterly fantastic. I truly hope this is what that Marvel system we saw was for Guardians of the Galaxy. If it is, I will be very hyped about Marvel's Guardians of the Galaxies now. Because I wasn't hyped before, and then playing with a battle system like this, if it's anything like that, it'll be fun.
Interesting.
It just will be. In addition, like you have essentially support ranks if you played Fire Emblem or specifically Fire Emblem Three Houses. If you build up your relationship with the people on your team, those combinations get stronger and you unlock new combinations. Like you unlock special attacks you can call on in the middle of combat, which is awesome. And you can chain all these things together. Combat in this game is just ridiculously good. And then the story on top of that, listen, it's anime as shit. It's anime as shit enough that they are now doing an anime about the same stuff as the game that's releasing now. So it's anime enough to get an anime.
Wow, okay.
So anime, it's actually an anime.
And I understand that's not everyone's cup of tea. Guess what? That's my cup of tea. So I'm having a great time with it. There is...
God damn it.
Weird bullshit happening all over the place. There are characters who have backstories that you explore as you build their relationship that tie into your character's origin that ends up being really cool. All around, this game is just really cool, and there's a couple like nitpicky things, not even nitpicky, there's a couple smaller things that do detract from it, like mainly the two main characters' personalities aren't great. Like, I like the side characters more than the two main characters. That's true for all of them. Just because, listen, if you make your main character have a personality, but that personality is emotionless, guess what? That's not an exciting main character.
Yeah.
There's not a lot you can do with that.
Yeah.
That is a pain.
And then they're not silent protagonists, even the one you're playing, though, right?
No, they're not. They're not silent at all. You're not making decisions. I guess you can sort of make decisions by not talking to people, but they're not like game changing decisions. You're very much playing a story that was written for you.
Gotcha.
Yeah, dude, I have just had a fantastic time with it. I've played through both sides of the storyline. Personally, if you are going to pick up this game, I think you should play as Kasane first and then as Yuito.
That's it's funny you say that, because literally I was listening to the besties talk about, they're like, man, the guy fucking sucks. I wish I hadn't played as him first. The girl is so much better.
Yeah, she is better. And when, if you do like New Game Plus and then do a second playthrough to get the, and even if you do like play through one time, you'll get enough of the story to understand what's happening. It's just kind of like characters will occasionally just tell you things instead of showing you, which isn't always the best. But if you play that side, you see what actually happens to get to those conclusions, which is cool. But yeah, I would say definitely play Kasane first. It will make playing as Yuito easier. Because, man, you have to do some fights with Yuito that I was playing on the New Game Plus, and I'm like, man, this fight like, this fight kind of is hard. And I have New Game Plus, and I'm like level 50 in an area where I should be level 35, and this is still kind of difficult. So, like, This would probably suck to do straight up. So yeah, I would recommend Kasane first, then Yuito. Other than the playstyle, the order doesn't really matter. You'll have holes regardless of which side you play through. Although, actually, no, you should definitely play first. There are less holes if you play Kasane first.
Damn. Okay. Well. Yeah. Kasane, there. Best girl. There you go.
She's not even best girl, but.
But compared to the guy, she's best girl.
So compared to the guy, she's best girl.
Kasane, only look at those two, she's best girl. By nature of being the girl.
The girl.
But yeah, I really enjoyed the game. I guess I should say some of the negatives. When you're using psychokinesis in combat, sometimes it's not as smooth as it should be. You don't always know what you're grabbing, because like there's no real way to target what you're gonna pull. So like sometimes you're trying to pull something that's behind the target so you can hit a weak spot, and it's very difficult to actually line that up. So that does get a little frustrating. There are places where it feels like you should be able to use your psychokinesis and move, because you can. But for me, on occasion, like I'd be like running and I'd use psychokinesis, my character would stop, and I'm like, all right, that's not great. I'm going to get hit by this ability now. But it was never like horrible. It was just like, oh, that's kind of annoying. I'm going to get hit by a thing I could have easily dodged. There's some of the other ones. Main characters being kind of flat. And once there is a point in time where you have two wheels of powers to pull from for your allies instead of one wheel, and that's not done very smoothly. It's like double tap a shoulder button to switch to the other wheel.
Yeah.
And then you have to use a shoulder button plus a face button to then activate the ability on the wheel.
Gosh.
So you can accidentally switch back to the one you would just switch from pretty easily if you just like.
So you're saying it's Final Fantasy 14?
Yeah, kinda. It wasn't super smooth at times. I guess, and this is super tiny, but some of the abilities are essentially the same color on the wheel. And I'd think like, oh, I'm going to use the teleport ability, and then I use duplication, and I'm like, why am I not teleporting? Oh no, I'm going to get hit by shit now. But overall, I've had a great time with this game. I don't expect this to be my game of the year by the end of the year, because there's a lot of stuff I'm looking forward
to.
There's
a lot coming out.
There's a lot.
Saying you might enjoy Psychonauts 2 more than this?
Definitely Psychonauts 2, okay? But not even just Psychonauts 2. Like,
Now, what if Scarlet Nexus becomes David's favorite game to feature psychokinesis in it, and not Psychonauts 2?
I'm not even going to front. I bet psychokinesis is better in Scarlet Nexus than Psychonauts.
Well, I would fucking hope so. The combat is a thing. Instead of
it being a platformer with combat, it's a combat-based RPG. But yeah, like...
Yeah.
Like 12 minutes, Kena, Psychonauts, Deathloop.
Deathloop's gonna be so good.
Yeah,
Deathloop. I'm so excited for that.
Horizon, game. Assuming
Horizon comes out, I'm at least gonna have a good time. Good like couple weekends with the Halo 1 multiplayer. Halo Infinite multiplayer.
Yeah, me too on that one.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. I would be shocked at this point if Scarlet Nexus was my game of the year at the end of the year, because if it was, that means the other games let me down.
Everything failed.
Yeah. Right. That would be unfortunate if it is.
So far, I don't know if you guys feel the same way. I feel like this is a very good year for gaming so far, but in the sense that there are a lot of really good 7 and 8s, not there is like one game that you must play this year.
Yeah,
agree with
that. There's nothing breaching 90 on Fantasy Critic right now.
Yeah.
There have been no true like masterpiece.
I meant personal ratings more than like a Metacritic or Open Critic.
Yeah, I agree with that though. Yeah. Like based on that, it's like there's nothing that's come out this year that's really blown me away. But there have been a lot of good games.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like Monster Hunter World or Rise is. My game of the year so far, it's like an 8.5 maybe for me. Whereas like 2 years ago, 2019, we had Outer Wilds and Sekiro and Jedi Fallen Order, all of which would be at least a 9. Outer Wilds is a 10. Like Sekiro is probably a 9.5.
Mm-hmm.
So like...
Yeah, but
we didn't have a lot.
There's a ton... There's like a bulk of really good games, but not breaching that great to masterpiece for me.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where Scarlet Nexus is. Like, as much as I'm gushing over it right now, part of that is just there isn't 10 out of 10 game for me so far this year. So like comparatively, this for me, a very 8 out of 10 game is still the best one that I've played so far this year.
Yeah. Fair.
Hell yeah. I think we've been gone for a while.
Hour 12 is what I have.
Actually, that's not as bad as I thought. All right.
Yeah, I know. That's actually shorter than normal for us.
I guess let's real quick go before we close out here and just what other games are you guys looking forward to?
I did have a list pulled up.
We talked 12 minutes in Horizon already.
Yeah, I mean, I literally have a list of all the games I plan on getting this year and the five that are on my buy on release are Neo: The World Ends With You, Deathloop, Metroid Dread, Horizon Forbidden West, and it's not coming out this year, but just in case it does, Hollow Knight Silksong. Those are the five games that I will have in my hand, you know, the week they release, and are the ones I'm most excited for.
Here's the thing, I'm really excited for Kena: Bridge of Spirits. I'd like to know more about that game. I feel like considering it's supposed to come out just over a month from now,
they
I feel like
had
I don't
some
know that much
stuff
about it.
God, what was it? It's a place that usually does film festivals, but they did like some weird game stuff before E3.
Not Can.
No, it wasn't Can. I forget. But there's what is traditionally a film festival. They had a bunch of Tribeca. It was Tribeca. Thank you. Yeah. It was Tribeca. Mm-hmm. They did some game showcases for indie games, and Kenna was in there, so they might have some more info.
Tribeca has been doing a lot of video game stuff lately. I think they've kind of made it a thing.
Dan is a nerd in the chat, makes a good point. Monster Hunter Stories
Monster
2.
Hunter Stories
yeah.
2. That just came out, right?
I heard good things about
last Friday. I've heard good things about it. I've been playing Mass Effect, so I haven't gotten around to it. I have it downloaded. I have it downloaded and
it's queued up.
I'm gonna get to it as soon as I can. Once I'm done Mass Effect and maybe some other things.
Apart from Kena and everything we've already mentioned. Oh yeah, the new WarioWare. I'm actually gonna play. I'm pretty excited for that. And I know we're gonna play it for stream content, but I'm actually pretty excited for the new Great Ace Attorney game.
I haven't
had a new one of those in quite some time. I mean, granted. Playing the old ones back that are so old that they're new again to me, essentially, and doing it on stream with Wes and Pridge is super fun. I'm excited to play something new, especially something that isn't, you know, a 20-year-old game at this point.
I keep forgetting to mention it because, well, I'm not going to have to buy it. Yeah. Ooh, I get to play it off the back of being part of this team.
I gotta fucking shoot Capcom another email because they really should send us a fucking code for that game.
They really should. They really should.
Come on, Capcom.
Come on, Capcom.
Capcom, if you're listening, come on, Capcom. Come on.
I sent them an email like 2 months ago. I was like, hey, come on.
Gotta follow up, man.
Obviously, I worded it way nicer than that.
You should really just say, come on.
I just said, from Zach at SaveDataTeam.com, subject, come on. Header, come on.
Come on.
Also, yeah, give us another Mega Man.
They responded to that part. They responded to that part and just said no.
Yeah. No, they're definitely not making another Mega Man.
One for probably me and Zach. This comes out days before Kena or Kina, whichever word it is. That Ghost of Tsushima director's cut?
Yeah. Fuck, yeah. I forgot about that. I have no idea how I'm going to get time to play that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm waiting to see, because it also comes out less than a week before Psychonauts, so like... Yeah. I'm waiting to see how long people say it's going to be. Like, is it a 5 to 10 hour experience, or is it like 30 hours? It can't be that long. It's got to be short.
Yeah, because the whole single player campaign was like 60.
Yeah. And that was with like 100% of the game.
Yeah. Like, I imagine it's going to be the size of another island or like section of an island. So I imagine like in the 10 to 20s, probably low.
That's still low a lot.
Still a lot. Still a lot, a lot.
Another one that I think is just me here, Battlefield 2042. That looks cool.
That's just you.
as someone who used to play Battlefield 2 competitively, like, this one might drag me back in. I might just play this from when it comes out in October until the end of the year exclusively. We'll see.
I am so flabbergasted that they're going to charge $70 for this game.
Yeah, that's wild. I don't necessarily agree with that, but... it looks good so far. Somewhere,
like, I guarantee you, 2 months after that game comes out, it drops in price.
Oh, it will. I mean, and that's fine.
And then at some point, it goes free to play. But
Battlefield has never done that, so I don't think.
Well,
I mean, let me rephrase. They've put it out for free, like redemption on like Amazon Prime or something like that. But they've never just been like, "Hey, this game is now free to play." They might have a free-to-play mode. I wouldn't be shocked if they have a free-to-play mode.
I'm going to say war never changes, but video game monetization sure does.
It does. EA, other than Apex, has not adopted shooters. Apex is the only free-to-play shooter EA game, and they make a crap ton of shooters. So, like,
Yeah.
I don't imagine this being a free-to-play game. I could see it having, like, a Warzone-esque mode. That's free. That would be 0% surprised.
It's just like Warzone makes more money than God for Activision, and I'm sure Halo.
Literally, all of their studios, not named Blizzard, are working on it now.
Exactly. and Halo Infinite's getting its own online mode that's free. You don't even need to have Game Pass. It's free.
Yeah,
that's how free it is.
Which is why I think they're gonna have. Something free for Battlefield, troubles. But I don't think the whole game is going to.
Interestingly, Battlefield 2042, it's $70 like American, which is $10 more. Mm. It's still $80 Canadian, which is standard price here.
Hmm.
Good on them. Not charging that Canadian tax.
Naru Koyangi in the chat says, not sure if it's been mentioned, but Disco Elysium Definitive Edition is one of my favorite games of all time. At some point we will play that again. Yeah. I swear to God.
We will get back to that once we have room in the schedule.
Yeah. Well, that's like saying once I don't know, something extremely unlikely happens.
Hell free.
Once Bobby Kotick, wow, once Bobby Kotick takes an actual price cut.
Good metaphor there, Zach.
Yeah. Sorry, I fucked it up. Couldn't think of things that were unlikely.
What else?
For me, like, the games I'm looking forward to, I don't have like a list in front of me that I've written out. Humankind, definitely.
Mm.
That game's coming like September, I think.
Yeah.
And I've been looking forward to that for a while. I really, really love Endless Legend. I think it's probably my favorite 4X. Endless Space 2 is also really good. So Humankind is looking pretty great right now.
Man, if I could play those, if I could play 4X or like Total War Games with not being a literal drug addict, like, God, yeah. I would play those. I just can't do it. I love them, but I can't.
Well, speaking of which, the next game I was going to say I'm looking forward to is Total War Warhammer 3. Total Warhammer 3, which I love Total Warhammer. Total Warhammer 3 is going to use all the DLCs from Total Warhammer 1 and 2, which means if you want the entire experience, you're going to spend like $400. Which, like, you don't have to get all the DLC because, like, it's literally like each DLC is one or two campaigns. And a campaign takes like 20 to 30 hours. So you can just get them as you play and also play all the free stuff. And you'll have a blast of a time. It's just like, for me, someone who I want to have everything. And it's also like the DLCs do come with units that add to the roster and stuff like that. It's like just so much content that they're continuing, like they're not giving that stuff for free with the upgrade to Total Warhammer 3.
Wild. Yeah, that kind of sucks.
Wild.
So really quick, because I was like, oh, let me just find another list of games coming out this year to be hyped for. First off, I do want to ask Pridge, are you hyped at all for Far Cry 6? Where's your hype check on that? Because you're a Far Cry person.
Yeah, it's on my like tier 2. I'm not going to buy it on release, but I will own it at some point in my life.
Fair. What up, Pridge, right there with you?
it's I like that series, but like it's not one of those ones where like I need to have this on my hands and play it right when it comes out. It's like, yeah, it's a Far Cry game. They all are relatively similar. I'll get to it when I get to it.
Yeah.
I'm excited, but there's no rush for me.
And then a quick list of things that are supposed to be dropping this year but don't have a release date that I'm actually excited for. The Little Devil Inside.
We haven't heard really anything
coming this
0%
year.
Chance that's coming.
We haven't heard anything about that since they got trouble for making a enemy that was a bad
some
racial
racist
stereotype.
Tribal kids,
and they've been. I mean, that's not going to derail the game, obviously. But I really haven't heard anything about that game since then.
I just don't think that's coming.
It's not coming out this year.
Solar Ash is supposed to come out this year.
I hope that comes out because I have it on fantasy.
Boyfriend Dungeon is supposed to come out this year.
Boyfriend Dungeon is supposed to come out the last 2 years.
I know.
Yeah,
same thing with 12 minutes. This one fucking blows my mind. I forgot that this was a game. Lord of the Rings Gollum.
I don't think that's coming this year.
That's not coming this year.
I wish it never comes ever. It doesn't look
like I can see that game getting canceled.
No, it's way too far along. I think it's coming next year and it's gonna be fine, but not great.
Little Gollum as a character. Like, I like him as a character, but I would never want a story.
Yeah, I'm so confused with the appeal of that game supposed to be.
Yeah.
Play as the most unlikable character.
Yeah.
Yay. You have no powers, no abilities. You're not strong, not fast. You're insane.
Well, insane can be a good quality for a main character of a video game. If you've played Hellblade and like, you send you a sacrifice, you know what I'm talking about.
The best walking sim, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, listen, I played it. Elise is not totally wrong on that.
Okay.
She's not right, but she's not totally wrong on that.
You're seeing the chat says, the appeal is nerds like me, okay? Let me Gollum.
I'll let you Gollum in peace.
Just let me Gollum, y'all. Hate is gonna hate.
I love Lord of the Rings too. I just don't want to play as Gollum.
Yeah, like fuck Gollum. No offense, Tracy.
Y'all ever play the Hobbit game for PS1?
Unfortunately.
I don't think I play that one now.
Wait, PS1 or PS2?
I
think it was PS2, actually.
Because I played the one on Xbox, which I think is
PS2, GameCube, Xbox,
Yeah. That game fucking sucked ass. Like, it was good, but it was unbelievably hard in some parts.
Yep.
Like, I'm pretty sure the first level of that game was fuck you hard, and then the rest of the game was like, okay, it's actually not bad.
That's just video games from that time period.
Yeah.
It was also like a Zelda clone. Like a 3D Zelda clone.
Kind of, yeah. Tracy says, I just want to crawl around and be gross like I do IRL, but at least in game, I have a cute ring. And Sabilla says, a cute ring? Oh my God.
Fair, Tracy. You could get a cute ring in real life as well.
It's true. It's true.
Yeah.
Goddamn.
Yeah, the other one I have on my list that doesn't have a date is Stray, so I have a feeling that might not make it.
Oh, the cat
year.
Game.
Yeah.
Oh, the cat game. That's right. I forgot. I forgot about the cat game.
And the last two games I will mention, one of them, not a game I usually am interested in, Forza Horizon 5. That shit looks beautiful.
I was just about to say.
It looks goddamn beautiful.
Forza Horizon 4 is pretty fun.
Yeah.
So
I will 100% download Forza Horizon 5, play it for a couple hours, and then never touch it again. And I'm totally cool with that because Game Pass is great.
Yeah, that's how it feels.
It's probably going to be 150 gigabytes.
You know what? I don't have a data cap anymore because I pay a lot of money for that, so that's fine.
Fair.
And then the last game is Tales of Arise. I'm concerned that it will be bad, but I am looking forward to it.
And there's another Tales game coming out this year, huh?
Yeah, I did not think 2021 would be the year of two Tales games, but you know what? Here we are.
Jesus.
Hey, David, play both Scarlet Nexus and Tales of Arise. Tell me which one's better, and I'll get that one for Christmas.
I have a hunch it's going to be Scarlet Nexus print, but I'll let you know.
Thanks, man.
I'll let you know.
Fair.
I'm also excited. I don't know if it's actually coming out like for real this year, but Unbeatable is a pretty great rhythm game.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm all in on Unbeatable.
I put a lot of hours in that demo, despite it not being that much. I just kept replaying the same songs because they were so good.
Damn, I'm the only person that hasn't played it here then. Shit.
Unbeatable is real good. Real
good. White Label's still free, right?
Yeah it's free demo on Steam.
Just grab the demo and just like play it for like 30 minutes. 20,
yeah, there's
30
like 10
minutes.
Songs or something.
Yeah, it's like six or seven songs and two remakes of those, like remixes of those songs. And
since it's released, they've added a couple songs too.
It's great.
An RK fan in the chat is constantly shilling. Rhythm Doctor, I think, is RK's favorite game of all time, because it's certainly not Super Mario 64, but...
Leave the man alone.
He has a family.
Not anymore.
Damn.
Say, like, God. Witch Queen is the next Destiny expansion. I'm gonna
Please.
Get it. I'm gonna
wow. Heck you.
Okay, fan, you know I love you. You earned your redemption. I wasn't going to dunk on you, but earlier you made a reference to me dunking on you, so.
So I had to remind you that I dunked on you.
Yeah.
Such nonsense logic.
No. It's 4D chess right here.
Yeah.
On a whole nother level.
Elise, do you think Destiny's going to make that expansion actually come out this year?
Yeah, it's going to come out this year.
You can go. I was going to cut you off. Go ahead.
I mean, they delayed last year by a couple months, and it came out like early November. I think they're on track to release Witch Queen this year. It might come out like December, but I really don't think they want to delay their like release schedule, because it used to be every September, I think. Maybe October.
Yeah.
It was every October. It's like October 1st. New Destiny expansion. But because of COVID, they had to delay that a month. So longest they're going to delay it is another month. They're definitely going to hit 2021. Will it be good? Who knows? But I'm going to play it.
Speaking of, will something be good? Will Marvel's Avengers War for Wakanda expansion be good?
No. I thought you were going to ask Marvel's Avengers Guardians of the Galaxy, which has a chance.
It looks bad, but it looks... like it could be good.
That's how I feel.
It could be good, but
I don't think it looked great, but I feel like it could play great potentially.
Potentially.
All right, unless anyone has anything else to add, I think that's gonna do it for
good.
That's all I've got.
Good.
All right, anything you want to plug?
Go to etsy.com/shop/savedataTeam, pick up any of the Anytown Ohio merch we now have. And also next Monday, so very soon, will probably be the very last episode of our Pokemon Emerald Nuzlocke. We are finally at the Elite Four, so get hyped for that.
Hell yeah.
Until I realized that I actually hacked the game and re-added a supercharged version of Juan.
Oh no! He's back, and he's pissed.
The record's 1-1, and he wants to settle it now.
It's just fun karma.
God damn it.
One of his Pokemon is Tasers.
Wait, his name is Juan Karma.
Oh Juan my karma. God.
Shit. Fucking Don Sun, draw that.
I need to write that down. Hang on. Not even kidding. I need to write that down one sec.
God damn it.
All right. Juan Karma. Yep. Cool. Bridger release, anything to plug?
No.
Got anything.
All right, cool. That's going to do it for our show. If you are watching us on YouTube, please give us a like. And if you would like to listen to us on podcast services, we're on pretty much all of them. And if there's one that we're not on, let us know. We'll at our podcast.service. You can just search Save Data Cast or Save Data on any podcast service. That'll let you know whether they have our podcast or not. So please go there. Even if you're on YouTube and you're not listening on a podcast, it would actually help us a ton if you go to a podcast service and rate us or subscribe or whatever. That helps us immensely. So would appreciate it. Would very much appreciate that. But that's going to do it for our show. Thank you everyone for tuning in and have a great weekend. Peace out.
Y'all the best. Thank you.